Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, a packed hour of challenging discussion addressing important issues and topics affecting Christians across the nation. Join the conversation via email at comments@standupforthetruth.com. Now, David Fiorazzo.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm so glad it's Friday. But a very important topic today. We haven't talked a lot about in depth on this issue, and nor have a lot of churches addressed it or tackled it. A big problem in our churches, a big problem among Christian men and women, and without telling you exactly what it is, you know we need help. We can't do it on our own when we're struggling with any kind of sin or addiction. We need God. We need Jesus, the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the purifying word, and so much we're going to discuss today. So let's go to God in prayer. We really need him to guide this hour. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us everything we need for life and for godliness. We praise you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We know that we can't do it by ourselves. We need you, a God that gives us strength every day and daily bread. We also need fellowship. We need brothers and sisters in our lives, strong Christians. We need accountability. And oh God, we can't fight this battle alone, and I know so many people do. So, Father, for those who are listening right now who are battling some sort of sin, particularly sexual sin, I pray in Jesus' name that you would open up their hearts to the truth today of your word and what is going to be shared in this hour, that they would be encouraged. I'm sure they're feeling beat up, Lord, going through this battle. And I pray that they would feel that they would be equipped and they would use the word of God to tackle this issue and these problems, Lord. And I just ask that you'd give us wisdom as we share. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd lead the conversation. And I also ask that you'd just bring people to this podcast who need to hear, those Christians who need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and what we are going to try to say to encourage them. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, and we lift up this hour to you and this day, and we praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, right to our guest today. The ministry is called Ephesians 5 Ministries. It's a relatively new ministry. It's so much to talk about today. One of the things we're going to get to is 6 myths of sexual sin, and our guest is Josh Parise. Did I say that right?
You did.
All right. Josh, thank you for coming in studio today. You started this ministry, Ephesians 5. We're going to hear your story, but I love the verse you have on the front page, Ephesians 5:15, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And let me just go to this verse that you requested that we share before we get into your testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 and 12, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. Revelation 12, 11 and 12. Josh Parise, there's so much. Got an article here. And this says, I don't know if this was just recent, I think. Well, no, actually earlier this year, I pulled this up, and this is one of the local TV stations did a little segment on you guys, you and your wife. It says, human trafficking, what an ex-John is doing to help. Well, you don't look like the kind of person that we would consider an ex-John from what I understand. You know, so let's share your story, Josh, and go back as far as you need to go as to when you became a Christian. And Christians aren't immune from the struggles non-Christians deal with. So when did you start having these issues, maybe with lust that led to sexual sin? And then
Did you have any accountability? Were you at a good church? Did you try to go to someone for help? Let's just let you introduce your story and just share. And then we'll get to some of the solutions and some of the myths about sexual sin.
Sounds good. And I appreciate the introduction. And really, as I go through my testimony, I think it's really important that that as I share some of these things in the past, that it always it's meant to glorify God. And that's the only reason why I will share some of these details in my past, is so that someone going through this might be able to relate with it, mm-hmm. and be able to say, hey, I need some help going through this. And there is, and I think also the hope of it, that there is hope to find freedom over sin through Jesus Christ. So, you know, as I go through this, I grew up about 30 miles north of Green Bay in a small community. Grew up in a Christian home in a Bible-believing non-denominational church.
Okay.
And so I was very blessed to have the parents that I did and the spiritual upbringing that I did.
So you had a foundation of faith, which is a lot of us, you know, did not have that, but you had that. Tell us about youth group. Tell us about your church.
So I'm very, very involved with youth group. You know, my parents helped lead youth group going through it. And you know, as I went through youth group, I realized that in having a relationship with the Lord, you know, I came to know the Lord and have a personal relationship with Him at a young age. Where I say a little bit about my past is when pre-youth group is I was bullied as a child. And started to stuff some of those things. And when I say bullying, you know, we talk about bullying now.
There's so many different.
This was the kind of bullying that, you know, would be on the severe end of it. So, and again, not that those things are ever an excuse for sin,
right?
But it is part of my story. And so after, really, I would say where lust from a sexual sin came into was probably in my early teens, as I was starting to hit puberty, and grew up in a culture of, you know, where there was a line that was not to be crossed, and that was do not have sex before marriage, right? But really not grasping that it's more about the purity of the relationship, right, and the personal relationship with Jesus. And so I was willing to commit sin to say, well, I'm not going to have sex before marriage, right? But I was lusting and found myself in self-sex and masturbation, as well as, you know, seeking out like magazine catalogs. We don't have those anymore like we did in the past. But, you know, we used to get the Penny's catalog or something like that, and finding images that way that would feed that lust.
Now, this is when you were a teenager?
Correct. And so after high school, I knew I wanted to go to a Christian university. And so I attended Trinity International University down in Chicago. And during that time, I had a serious relationship with a young woman. And we, while we didn't have sex before we had marriage, we definitely did things that were not God-honoring in that relationship, right? And again, it was more of a line not to be crossed. And I had been chasing after women as an idol, right? Not putting God in His proper place. And so this relationship was just another example of that, of having an idol. And so when that came crashing down, you know, I thought I was going to get married. And then to all of a sudden an abrupt end to the relationship after a couple of years, there was a fork in the road that presented, you know, I could turn to God and submit to Him and put Him in His proper place, or I could start to, seek the desires of my heart, right? And of the sin of my sinful flesh, going back to sexual sin. And that's what I started to do. And that's really where pornography started to enter my life. I started to seek that out even more because in my mind, I fed into the lie that, well, I won't be emotionally hurt, right? By going to pornography. And that's really what sin does. Sin doesn't come and say, hey, this is all the the destruction and chaos that I'm going to embark on you, it comes in little pieces and little lies, right, that mm-hmm. Satan puts before us,
yep.
and we start to believe in it. Because if you went back and you asked, you know, someone growing up, do you think that, you know, Josh will end up in this place, right? And I'm going to go more into my testimony. They would have said, no, absolutely
He's
not.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
But that's the lying deception that that I bought into.
Well, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. And it's we are not usually faced with the consequences of our sin or our choices when we are about to make a certain decision to give into a temptation. It's like you said, it's often very subtle. And mm-hmm. and so we do fall into that. We start believing the lies. Oh, just a little bit. How about this one, Josh? Did this also come in after you know, broke up? And so now you're starting to pursue, you know, on pornography and everything else. Are you also saying, well, justifying it and saying, well, I'm not hurting another woman. I'm not hurting another person in real life, in a relationship. I'm not having sex with someone before marriage. This is just me. Did you justify it that way?
Yeah, and I would say I was a little more selfish than that. It was more about, well, I deserve this, right? So it was more—
Explain.
Sure. So it was more of a, you know, I've been hurt, right? So I deserve something for myself.
Sexual gratification.
Correct, yes. And so I would say it was even more selfish than what you had said. Mm. Later on, I would say I definitely fed into that lie. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so now what was the next step that took you even deeper?
Yeah, and I eventually...
And excuse, during this time in your life, you grew up in a church, you were part of a youth group, you go to a Christian college, right? Mm-hmm. Were there other brothers in Christ in your life at that time that were... they could relate to your struggles? Were you opening up to anybody? Was there any accountability?
None.
What was that like? None.
No. And again, and this was in the late 90s. It wasn't talked about, right? It's a taboo sin. You know, I don't remember. Well,
still not talked about to a great degree today.
But even to the point where I think back into my youth, and it's like, you know, again, when we talked about sex, it wasn't, you know, it just, we weren't supposed to have sex before we were married. And there really was no let's open up and talk about our struggles, right? And are giving over to sexual sin, and how do we find victory over that?
By the way, I just want to remind everybody, we're listening to Josh Parise and his testimony. He's with Ephesians 5 Ministries, and we're going to be talking about 6 myths about sexual sin. But right now we're hearing his story and how growing up with a Christian family at a Christian church and going to a Christian college, he still fell in to this lifestyle of pornography, and to the point of you were paying prostitutes, which is, to most of us, we're going, wow,
mm-hmm.
that must have been, the enemy had a stronghold on you, but yet, you're not. I know you're not there yet, so I want to get back to where you were in
sure.
your testimony.
So during this time, I actually had met my future wife, Christy. And we had dated, and I think one of the myths we're going to get to, and I'll kind of interject it here, was once I get married, right, and I have the ability to perform and have a sexual relationship, mm-hmm. that this will disappear.
Right.
Right.
I think a lot of men think that
temptation will go away. And that's not what happened. Right. So I brought this lust and this acting out on my sexual sin habitually into our marriage relationship. And I think it's a good point to, if I can speak to any single person who feels a desire to get married, if you are involved in habitual sexual sin, that you are in no place to enter into a marriage relationship.
Right. It doesn't go away just because
you get
married.
It does not go away. Right. You're lust and desire, you know, that is in your heart, is not going to go away from getting married.
And I was going to ask you, we talked about this before we came on air. I can understand how it is for a single person, whether you're a Christian or not. I, you know, was single for years. And then you get married and you think, okay, I'm going to be okay. And then for most people, you have children. And then you think, okay, now I'm going to be okay. But you don't, because that was you. Yeah. You were, you got into a marriage. You had not dealt with the issue. You had, I'm sure you had a sexual relationship with your wife that was to some degree fulfilling, and yet she still didn't know the secret life of yours. Then you had children come into the picture, and you're still dealing with this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us might go, wow, how could you continue down that road when God was blessing you with a wife, with a family, and you're still not satisfied? Could you speak to that?
Yeah, it's selfishness. It really comes back to, you know, there's a verse in Jeremiah that talks about how our heart is wicked, and that
beyond cure. One translation
sickness,
says,
sickness, right? And that's definitely true. And it was feeding into the lie that I could compartmentalize it as well, that I could go to church on Sundays, I could have a relationship with the Lord, and yet I just had this small little sexual sin issue.
So am I assuming correctly that when you got married, the frequency wasn't as much, or was that so strong of a temptation or addiction that it didn't matter that even though you were married, you still, you know, fell into that as often as you did before?
Yeah, I would say there was a period of time where it wasn't, but then temptation came again. And again, it comes back to where the desire of my heart, right? And I was that, and not having God in his proper place in my relationship at the time. And so not having that that awe, you know, you look at the word awesome, and you look at who God is, and to have that reverence and awe of who he is, and realizing what sin does to us, I didn't have that at that time. And so therefore, when temptation came, and I wasn't frequently in the Word, I was not meditating on the Word and hiding God's Word in my heart. And when I say hiding it, it's that when we are to memorize Scripture, it's really the sword of the Spirit. When you look at, you know, look at the breastplate of righteousness, you look at the helmet of salvation, and the sword is the only offensive weapon that's mentioned during that time period.
And that's the Word of God.
The Word of God, absolutely. Yeah. So when you're walking down the street and temptation comes, right? So that's temptation that is going to come to a man when he sees an image or sees a person. There will be temptation that exists. Mm-hmm. I can't turn and say, what did 1 Corinthians 10:13 say again? Right? Let no temptation overtake you that's uncommon to man, but God is faithful.
He always provides a way out.
That's right. Yeah. So that we can endure it.
But we have to choose that.
Correct. And that's where having that the best defense is an offense. And that's where the Word of God. And so I wasn't in a place where I was doing that. And as we talk and move forward, made such a difference as I started to realize that I could have temptation. To this temptation, well, I could be tempted until I pass on from this earth.
We will be on this earth. We will be tempted, and temptation in itself is not sin, is it?
Correct.
But it's what we do with it. You alluded to Psalm 119, verse 11, which was one of the verses I memorized when I was on the road with a bunch of guys in our 20s in a rock band. We were all Christians, but it's, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So if we hide God's word in our heart, that's one of the reasons we meditate on his word. One of the reasons we try to get it from our head down to our heart. And so that when we need it, it is there. Another verse, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we need, if we don't have his word in us, it's not going to be there when we need it. And so it's a very good point we're going to end this first segment with, that we've got to be meditating on the word of God, and we've got to have that to access. Because there's not always going to be someone with you in those moments you're tempted. Your accountability partner won't be there, chances are. So when we come, we're speaking with Josh Parise of Ephesians 5 Ministries, coming up, 6 myths about sexual sin.
Your monthly financial support of StandUpForTheTruth.com is needed and appreciated. Now, back to today's Stand Up For The Truth with David Fiorazzo.
We're speaking with Josh Parise of Ephesians 5 Ministries. You, Josh, went from feelings of lust to using pornography to visiting massage parlors, and you were using prostitutes. And you were finally arrested at a point for soliciting a prostitute. You told us off air that you had not had intercourse with a woman before you were married. However, a lot of fornication mm-hmm. with other women, and of course, your porn habit, but you did not deal with that habit. You did not deal with these things before you got married. So now our listeners understand you're married, but you're still dealing with this, and you're about to have a family. So get to this, sum this up for us, how you went from massage parlors while you were married, and then you were using prostitutes, and you're finally arrested, which must have brought it all to light. I know you're at some point your wife found out. Tell us what happened.
Sure. And it was after I'd moved back to Green Bay, and I had traveled around the country. We moved back to Green Bay. I was arrested for solicitation of prostitution. And you think that would break a man, right? But I continued to actually lie to my wife during that process. So I...
Wait a minute. So she didn't know anything until
that
point?
She knew some things. You know, again, I was running. And so I was running from God. I was running from the truth. And so during that time, she found out that I was arrested, but I said it was just a massage parlor, right? Just, right? but there was a fear in me that if I told her everything, I would lose everything, right? And so this went on. We went and saw a sex therapist. We went saw a Christian counselor.
Did that help?
The sex therapist did not. The Christian counselor did, because it was about the Word of God and it was about the Holy Spirit.
That's an important point to make. Psychology, as you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. that's not the answer. There can be some helpful mm-hmm. tips in understanding how the brain works mm-hmm. and how we function as human beings, but it is the Word of God that's going to truly liberate us.
Sure. And so I still hadn't gone through heart change. I was crying out to God, and I said, and I literally said, God, take this sexual sin from me. Right. And it was more worldly sorrow than Holy Spirit grief. And I think that's...
Explain that.
So when I got caught, right, and when some of these things came out, it was what's going to happen to me. I was the object. God was not the object. It was not that I had committed sins against a holy God and that I have a Savior that was nailed to the cross on my behalf and that I need to submit to Him. Because out of the love that He gave me, how could I not want to serve Him, right? And so as I go back to my story, what happened is I tried some behavior modification, right? You can try some things like bouncing the eyes and things that you hear about. Well, that doesn't change your heart. And so—
When you say bouncing the eyes, does that mean like disciplining yourself not to look at certain things?
Correct.
Yep. And it's all around us, right? Yes. Wherever TV commercials and everywhere else, right?
So to kind of fast forward a little bit, things came to a head. My wife's best friend's an attorney. She dug into the police report and came back to my wife and said, hey, some of this isn't lining up with what you were saying. And I was wrestling God through this time. And that's always a losing proposition to wrestle with God. And it was very clear that I was to come clean and tell everything. So this gave this... He brought another opportunity, right, mm-hmm. of being caught. And being caught is the best thing that ever happened to me. And it gave an opportunity to come clean. And really what happened, my spiritual mentor gave me this picture, is I dropped out of the second story, a burning stove on fire onto my family. So I had shoved out of the junk, because I had all of a sudden, because I brought darkness into light, and I submitted, and I realized that the terrible things that sin had been done in my life, but all of a sudden what I did was I dumped it on my family and everyone around me, right? So there's earthly consequences, yet at the same time during this period of time after everything came into the light, I had this incredible joy and peace of getting the darkness to be exposed by the light of Jesus Christ, and to realize that to pursue that relationship with him was greater than anything on this earth. And if that meant I was going to, live without my family, right? Not what I wanted, but I knew that pursuing him, more important than my businesses, more important than anything that I had. And that's really, you know, the difference between, I would say, worldly sorrow and holy, that godly Holy sorrow. Spirit, godly sorrow. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think about a couple of verses that we should probably share because they're very appropriate. Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Jesus took it up a notch. He elevated the bar in Matthew 5:27-28, when he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, right? Which is one of the commandments. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And this is an issue that a lot of men listening right now hopefully will be convicted on, because they are struggling with pornography and they are looking at other women with lust in their hearts, committing adultery in their hearts, which Jesus said is not good at all.
Yeah.
It is a sin.
It is. And it's that cycle of shame and guilt as well that should be really warning bells from the Holy Spirit to say, like, hey, something is wrong.
Yes, we have conscience, yes.
And what happens is we live in darkness and we don't go and we don't talk to someone and we don't get it into the light. We don't go to the Word, and it becomes the cycle. And what happens is that cycle, what it did in my life was that darkness just kept growing and growing and growing. And as soon as it was exposed to the light, I mean, not to say that there's still not temptation that exists.
There always will be.
But it was incredible sense of freedom and victory through submission to the Holy Spirit, submission to realizing what Jesus Christ had done on the cross.
How did you get there? We're speaking with Josh Parise of Ephesians 5 Ministries. We're going to be talking right now about 6 myths of sexual sin. But how did you get to that point where you had that freedom and you were aware of this struggle? And you're going to do something about it now. Finally, I mean, how did you get there? What did you do? You had to tell some brothers at your church. You couldn't do it alone. And you say that in your testimony often. I was trying to deal with this on my own.
Yeah, I was white knuckling. I really was.
Did not have the victory. What does that mean,
I was holding onto the steering wheel with all my might, trying to control where I was going. And it was only to the point where I let go and I said, I can't do this. Only God can do this. And he didn't want my sin. He wanted my heart. And he wanted my heart as black and as dark. It didn't matter. There's nothing that I could do to clean and polish it up before to give it to him.
Right. So one thing, the first of these myths is sex is bad. And that's not exactly true, is it? Because God created sex ultimately for his glory. It's Genesis 1:27-28. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, or another translation, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and then rule. So this is something we have to remember, that procreation is something that glorifies God in the context of marriage between one man and one woman. And having a family, having babies, that is almost, you could say, a holy thing in that covenant with God, that we are having children. As it's a blessing, it's a gift of God.
It is, and really, when it says
so, sex is not bad.
It's
sex
not
in itself,
bad. And it's created. And I think the important thing is for His glory, right? Everything is created to bring Him glory. We distort that, right? And so it really comes back to, what is our object? Is it ourself, right? And that can lead into, we can talk about self-esteem and other things like that. Or is it Christ? Is it God? And is it meant to bring him glory? And so it also comes back to the serpent, and that was also he was crafty and deceptive, right? Mm. It was that little lie that he told in the garden that, and there is no little lies and
did
little
God
sins.
Did God really say?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it also, I think it's great because in that passage, it talks about also the shame and separation from God that existed as the result of their sin. And that's what I was talking about as far as the shame and guilt that we feel, you know, in that as the propensity to keep it in darkness.
You're talking about the Adam and Eve sin in the garden.
Correct.
And how that, nothing new under the sun, right? When we sin, there's shame, there's guilt, there's separation from God when we sin. That's human nature. That's what happens when we sin. And so sex was ultimately created for God, I mean, for his glory, and it is to be enjoyed between a man and a woman. And also, a note you have here, sex is not only for procreation, but it's meant to unite a husband and wife. It's a physical picture of a spiritual union, and it is a good thing. Can you speak a little bit into that?
Yeah, well, in you know, God, you know, I look at, you can look at sex, you can look at food, you can look at so many things that God has given us as gifts, and we, you know, through sin have perverted that. You know, whether it's food and overeating, whether it's sex and really our own selfishness, because that's really what sexual sin is. I use the term secondary sin, but all sin is bad, but the root of it is something else, and that root is selfishness or pride, right?
Those three things that Jesus talked about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's every man and probably every woman's battle, right?
Yeah,
lust absolutely. Of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and which leads us to the next one, a little lust. These are myths, right? Sexual myths about sexual sin. A little lust or a little porn won't hurt anyone. Everyone does it.
Sure.
That's a myth.
And that's a myth that I, and again, these are all myths that I personally bought into.
Part of your testimony.
It is. So, and you know, I wasn't shocked when I saw the statistics of, you know, 68% of church going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular
church
basis.
Church going men, 68%.
Yes. And why wasn't I surprised? Well, as I've talked to men, David, have you ever met a man that would say that they've never struggled with lust during their lifetime at some point?
I don't know that I have.
I don't think I've met a man either that hasn't struggled with it. Now, to different degrees, but that it is a common issue, and that really leads to also that the church, and I say that big C, small C, is because of the shame and the guilt and the taboo of our culture around it, and you know, I think really we look at it as the really bad sin. Right? We don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, and when we go through the New Testament and we look at all the beautiful pictures that God gives us of darkness and light, right? And that's why we chose Ephesians 5 ministries, is it talks about darkness and light, and it talks about waking up while sleeper and arise from the dead.
You have Ephesians 5 ministries, a 15-week study to help men overcome sexual temptation. And one of the things you just mentioned, in a quote in this article, meeting with pastors as a part of church ministry, you said a lot of people in your congregation are struggling with this, and yet a lot of churches don't talk about it, and they don't have ministries at the church, particular churches, that can help people with this. Give advice to a man or woman who's listening right now that struggles with either lust, pornography, sexual sin, and they're going, well, I've never heard this brought up at church. There's no program at our church that I know of that can help me with this, but I'm willing to try because I can't do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. If they're local, I'd say two things. Talk to an elder, talk to a pastor, and call us, right? We will pray with you. We will meet with you. That's what Ephesians 5 does. Is we're willing to walk alongside by side with people through this and to give biblical counsel to them as they go through this. If they're not local, I would say you need to get darkness into the light. And my encouragement to you would be that don't delay. Do not let the sun go down when the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now to say, I have this issue and I don't know what to do. I don't know what the earthly consequences could be for what I'm doing, but I know that I need help. And I would say, go seek a godly person, right? And this is the difference between accountability and I would say discipleship or shepherding is when we counsel men as they're going through this is, you know, if David, you were in the same place as me, that's probably not the best person to have an accountability partner,
right?
It's like two pigs in the mud.
Two guys struggling with the same thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Find someone who has found victory over this.
That's a good point.
That can disciple you. And I think that's one of the big things that we've, as a church, have got to get back to is that one-on-one discipling. Yes. I know in my life, God brought incredible men into my life. One of them is Bill Magoon, and this man loves on me. He disciples me. It's also a picture of submitting to another person, right? Which is a little weird and hard at first for me because that's not our natural of what we do. But that's really we submit to Christ, and it's a earthly relationship where we're submitting to another and allowing them to point us back to the Word.
Right. Number two, a little lust or a little porn won't hurt everyone. Young Christian adults are actively searching for porn. This statistic is almost shocking. 76% between 18 and 24-year-old. Ephesians 5:3 says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And the next one, masturbation is okay. So a little lust won't hurt anyone. Everyone does it. Masturbation is okay. This is something that I think people need to hear about. Why is that not okay?
And this is a big one because at this time, there was a time when I was separated from my wife and I was going through in these thoughts process, is masturbation okay? And so I went to Google. It's always a dangerous thing.
Oh,
and
boy.
I said,
you get all the worldly no problem.
Well, no. There was Christians, most Christian resources that I found would not give a definitive answer that self-sex or masturbation was a sin.
And
Christian sources.
Wow.
And I'm not going to name them right now, but organizations that you would say, oh, that is a great organization, had articles that really were ambiguous, right? And the Word of God is not ambiguous on what a relationship with the Lord looks like.
No, not at all. Okay, let's see. We're going to have to take a break. We're talking with Josh Parise of Ephesians 5 Ministries. We're going through 6 myths about sexual sin. Another one, when we come back, everything in my life is okay. I just have a little sexual sin problem. That's a myth. We'll get to that when we come back.
Thank you for listening and sharing today's show via standupforthetruth.com/podcast. Now, back to Stand Up for the Truth. Here's David Fiorazzo.
Josh Parise, Ephesians 5 Ministries, 6 myths about sexual sin. We just went to number 4. Everything in my life is okay. I just have a sexual sin problem. Crash, you mentioned something off air. We were talking to Josh and saying, I think we skipped over part of his testimony, went a little too quickly in that some men will say, especially listeners to maybe this program, will say, I know the Word of God. I know what it says about this. And I've got too much to lose. Would you speak into that and ask?
Well, I've known Josh for a long time, and I've been going to your summer fire chats. You know, you're out in your backyard, and some of your frustrations were when you were trying to take these into the churches to introduce these programs. I have too much to lose. I just have too much to lose to go take this. If I have this problem and I have to go to my management or something at my job, I could lose my job, my pension, whatever. What were you risking when you were going through that brokenness?
Can you share on that? From an earthly standpoint,
I want people to understand what.
Yeah, I thought I was going to lose my family. Which,
okay, that's
absolutely.
But you can get another family.
Well. I get it, but that still, to me, that was a huge fear, right? That existed.
I know, but
which was losing my family. There was a lot of worldliness where, multiple businesses from
the world's
perspective.
You had a good very good income at risk.
And so that was at risk, but it really boiled down to, you know, this is just stuff on this earth that passes away. Mm-hmm. And if I'm submitting to the Lord as my Savior and having that relationship with Him, is there an earthly cost that I could even weigh against that decision? I fed into the lies up until that point, but it was so abundantly clear that it was that submission to say, this isn't even sacrifice. This is rubbish. Mm. Right?
Sure. But again, on point number two, you have these stats: 68% of the church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis.
Regular.
So here you're trying to go to these pastors saying, we need to do this program because of the struggles in your church. But then a pastor's going, wait, I've got a career here in God's word. I cannot go to my wife or my elders and discuss this addiction that I'm having right now.
Good point. I mean, that's pride, but good point. It's hard to come clean.
I have got too much to risk. You do not understand what I'm going to, a 15-year marriage or whatever it could be.
So, Josh, you didn't lose your wife. You didn't lose your kids when this all became public and you just gave it all over to God and said, God, whatever consequences.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to.
You thought you were. And that's amazing. So your wife forgave you.
She did. And wow. It's an incredible, incredible, I have an incredible wife that, you know, she had a lot of advice around her that you should divorce this man. And you know what? The things that I had done.
Wow.
I mean, really, if you look at that.
You probably thought I deserve to be divorced.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it's easy to go to the Bible, and this maybe for another time segment, but to say that, well, that is grounds for divorce.
Sure.
From the Bible. God still hates
adultery, prostitutes, really.
God still hates divorce.
Yes. Yes. Right? That's true.
And so it was two people and I think the incredible thing, and she's not here to share this, but she also became broken through this process, and both of us fixed our eyes on Christ.
Mm.
And it's only Him that brought us to get together.
So she now is on a mission to help other women who are hurt or have been hurt by their husband's betrayal or adultery. That's your partner in this ministry. You're working in this together, and she's ministering to women. Mm-hmm. You're ministering to men. But did you lose your businesses? Did you lose income? Are there any other consequences, or did?
No.
No. Wow.
But I was willing to. I actually went to all my business partners in the various businesses, and I said, "Hey, this is what I did. This is where I'm at." Some of my business partners are believers, and I said, "I can't travel anymore. Right now, I don't know how long that will be, but I need to commit to my relationship with the Lord. I need to commit to my family. And if that means that you guys need to dismiss me as a partner in the business, you know, I want you to know that I completely understand and I'm okay with that." And
so the more he brought it into the light, the more he gained.
Yes. Praise God. If you're listening right now, I know a lot of people are struggling with this. Just
sure.
Statistics. I don't know. We're not saying we know your life here. We're not, you know, psychic, or we don't have a, you know, vision, but we understand human nature, and the stats prove it that a high amount of people in the church are struggling with this, and they keep it a secret because of embarrassment, because of any other reason you're going to justify it that is just not good enough. And it doesn't line up with God and His word, and it doesn't do you any good nor your family. The next one is something I think we all can relate to. Mm-hmm. Number five myth about sexual sin: if I just love Jesus enough, I won't be tempted. And that's a myth. Josh, talk about that.
Sure. Jesus was tempted in the desert, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So temptation is going to exist.
And He never sinned.
Correct. Absolutely. So temptation, and that's an important distinction between temptation and sin. And that's where it goes back to, you know, through prayer and through the word of God, that we have that offensive weapon when temptation comes. And it's as well as, you know, we already referenced 1 Corinthians 10:13 has just been an incredible verse that God has used, that when temptation comes for me personally, you know, wherever I'm at, and a lot of times I speak it out loud. And I think God has revealed through temptation, where temptation used to lead to guilt and shame, and now there's victory in it, right? There's actually joy when temptation comes And God conquers that through his word in my life.
In your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, when you make that decision to shut the door to that potential act, whatever that might be in your life, whatever sin that might be, when you are tempted, that is victory. And that glorifies God.
Yeah. And if we can move on to number six.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think it's, can I keep my sexual sin a secret? And we save this one for last, because if you're listening to this, I have never met a man who has kept his sin in the dark and overcome it. Because.
So in other words, a man that has overcome it on his own, you're saying.
Yeah. And really, you know, by not getting it into the light. And it really brings us to, you know, we talked about infusion out of darkness into light, but it really gets to what does true repentance look like? So repentance isn't feeling guilty or getting caught.
Yes, that's not repentance.
That's not repentance. And it really starts with realizing that we aren't good enough to be in a relationship with God, that Jesus drank a cup for us that we can't take upon ourselves. And it's responding to the Holy Spirit. So repentance is a response to the Holy Spirit, and it always leads to a changed life and to good fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I think what the great picture of repentance is in my life and others who share their testimony is it's turning from sin, right? It's literally walking away, turning from sin through the power of the Holy Spirit into the arms of love of God and Creator. Mm. And so there's a lot of times where we hear where, you know, I think it's Romans 5:20, which is where sin abound, God's grace
abounds
even more. Much and I think we misuse that from the standpoint of it's not okay for us to continue to walk into habitual sin. God's grace is greater than that, right? And I think that's the picture we're trying to get. But to be able to true repentance is turning from that sin.
Yes.
And into his arms of love and his yes. grace that's there for us.
And there will be sorrow. There will be remorse. There will be a lot of emoting mm-hmm. when you do turn from that sin and you completely give it up to God. And you will continue to be tempted. But once you completely give that over, it comes into the light and you turn it over to God. And I'm not saying it becomes easier, because I think there are still struggles.
It's a long road out. And that's yes. the other thing I tell men. It's a very long road out. 99% of the men that are going through this are not going to have Paul conversions. It's going to be a Peter conversion type process. So it is going to be that. And a lot of times the bullseye on my back got bigger, mm-hmm. right? The temptation.
You mean from the enemy? You mean?
Absolutely. As we started.
And he's attacking other areas of your walk as well.
Absolutely.
Not just that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you fought this for 13 years of your life, and I'm so thankful that you're able to come in and share your testimony. We just have a few minutes left, but now you're giving up your time. You're trying to get this ministry going. Of course, you do need help if you are local. You do need godly men that can come alongside you and work with you on this. It's Ephesians 5 Ministries. You are doing, your wife is doing her part. You're out in Suamico, and you say Ephesians 5 is still in early phase, but you have studies beginning. And what you told me, is there a 24-week?
So we do it. We use Pure Life Ministries curriculum out of Dry Ridge, Kentucky. They put out, it's a 9-month residential program. And we actually, after the 15-week program, if we do a one-on-one with each guy that goes through, if they're not finding victory over it, what is it? You have a lot at stake, right? And so they have a 9-month residential program where men can go.
In Kentucky.
And we use their curriculum. It's great. It's very biblical based. So it's a combination of biblical counseling. Every man that comes through signs a covenant. And one of those things is to get a spiritual mentor into their life. So we need men
yes.
who are spiritual shepherds to walk alongside, because it is a very long and messy process, and a 15-week class isn't necessarily going to deliver someone from this. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's other godly people being the Holy Spirit using them long term in their life to overcome it. The other thing I would say is that we have Jen, another woman besides my wife Christy, that's walking alongside other women as they go through this. We are in a place where we have opportunities to go into the Brown County Jail and do Ephesians 5 groups in Brown County Jail. So that is, as we move forward into 2020, that God has placed on our heart to take the ministry there. And so we are now fundraising to have someone come on staff to do biblical counseling and to start to lead a lot more of these groups, because I would say that's the biggest challenge we're facing right now is men will call us, and we're in the middle of the 24-week study, right?
And they can't come in right in the middle of that.
Correct. Correct. So we can give them some counsel. We can walk along side by side them, but we need more groups to open up and to have more access points for men.
The website is it's Ephesians 5 Ministries. It's E-P-H, the number 5-M-I-N.com. Eph5min. We'll put this in our podcast post today.
I put your post that you had on your Facebook page on the Stand Up for the Truth blog Facebook. Are you in this a capital campaign for fundraising right now?
Correct. We just started it.
All right. It's to grow the staff?
Correct. To hire our first person to come on staff. Everyone who currently works with Ephesians 5 right now is unpaid, and that's the way that the current people who are involved tend to or will stay that way. So to know that any money that is raised is going for that purpose. And we also have a ministry building that are at some point, the goal is to finish more of that out for counseling space as well.
So are you looking for godly men to mentor, biblical counselors? Do men or women, particularly men that want to maybe help you, do they have to have had any kind of struggle in the past or certain sexual sin in their past and overcome that? Do they have to
absolutely
have that
not.
In their background?
Absolutely
no,
not.
No, just as long as they're a solid man of God.
As long as they're
going to
point men back and show them what a godly, I mean, that's my spiritual mentor has shown me how he pours. I've learned more just watching him pour his life into other people, not just myself. Mm-hmm. So seeing that example of someone that lives out daily has just been incredible and impactful for my relationship.
The most common word I hear you say is submission. Mm-hmm. That is your most common word that he says.
And submitting it's men to the that Lord.
Men that are willing to submit.
It's the difference between a man who's sorry and a man who's broken.
Josh Parise, Ephesians 5 Ministries, thank you for opening up your heart, just being vulnerable, sharing your testimony on the airwaves on this podcast. I believe it's going to bless a lot of people. And if you need any more information, you can contact us through our website, and we'll get you in touch with Josh. When we come back, we'll tell you what's on tap for next week.
Stand Up for the Truth, a ministry of Lakeshore Communications Incorporated. Keep the discussion going on social media. Stand Up WI on Facebook and Twitter. Now, we wrap up today's Stand Up for the Truth.
Share this podcast on social media, please. All right, such a great interview with Josh Parise. We'll have him on again. This issue is not going to go away. Next week on Stand Up for the Truth, it's Friday. I'm losing my voice. I'm glad it's Friday. Next week on Stand Up for the Truth, Tina Marie Griffin has been back with us. She has been on for at least 9 months, I think. She'll be back. Preston and Kelly Condra from Sufficient Words Ministries and the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston, will be here Wednesday. Pastor Randy White Thursday. Hillary Morgan Furr, a book about mama bear apologetics. So a packed week next week. Thank you guys so much for your prayers, for your encouragement, your support. And I can't stress enough that you would share our content, because social media tends to censor those who are doing the work that we're doing. God bless you, and keep speaking the truth about things that matter.